joyful this morning. I'll warn you. I want to read one verse before I start, or as I start. I'll tell you it's from the Old Testament, but I don't want to give you the exact reference until I finish.
Donc, je veux dire que c'est dans l'Ancien Testament, mais je ne veux pas vous donner la référence exacte avant d'avoir terminé.
Because I want you to be really listening and not searching ahead to see where it's going.
Parce que je veux que vous écoutiez vraiment et que vous ne soyez pas en train de regarder ce qui se passe.
So please listen to this. Please open your heart and really let this sink in and absorb it.
Donc, s'il vous plaît, écoutez, soyez attentifs et laissez ces paroles vraiment vous pénétrer profondément. Absorbez-les.
Just one verse, I'll say it phrase by phrase.
Donc, je vais le dire vraiment phrase par phrase. Donc, c'est juste un verset.
I love it.
Vraiment, je l'aime.
The Lord your God is with you.
L'Éternel, ton Dieu, est avec toi.
We can read something like that when we're reading the Bible and just go right over it.
On peut lire quelque chose comme ça quand on lit la parole de Dieu et juste passer par-dessus.
The Lord your God is with you.
L'Éternel, ton Dieu, est avec toi.
Think who it is he's saying that.
Donc pensez à qui prononce ces paroles.
That's from an Old Testament prophet, and I'll tell you it's Zephaniah.
Donc c'est un prophète de l'Ancien Testament qui est connu.
But it's not Zephaniah who's speaking. He didn't make those words up.
Mais en fait, ce n'est pas Sophonie qui parle, mais qui a fabriqué ces paroles.
The Holy Spirit has put those words on the lips and in the pen of Zephaniah.
C'est le Saint-Esprit qui a mis ces paroles dans la bouche et au bout du crayon de Sophonie.
God himself is speaking to each one of us, each one of us.
Et Dieu lui-même parle à chacun d'entre nous.
And he says, the Lord your God is with you.
Et il dit, le Seigneur, ton Dieu, est avec toi.
You think you have a problem?
Est-ce que vous pensez que vous avez un problème?
Well, the Lord your God is with you.
Alors le Seigneur, votre Dieu, est avec vous.
And if God is with you, who can be against you?
Et si le Seigneur est avec vous, qui peut être contre vous?
Remember, God is the creator of everything.
Donc souvenez-vous que Dieu est le créateur de toutes choses.
He's created the entire universe.
Il a créé l'univers tout entier.
All authority and all power.
Toute autorité et toute puissance.
Belongs to him.
Lui appartiennent.
He says.
Et il dit.
The Lord, your God, is with you.
Le Seigneur, ton Dieu, est avec toi.
Don't ever let anything or anybody or any circumstance or problem tell you that the Lord your God isn't with you.
Donc ne laissez jamais rien, ni aucune circonstance, ni personne vous dire jamais que l'Éternel n'est pas avec vous.
If you're drowning,
si vous êtes en train de couler,
and a voice in your head says, "Where's your God now? You're going to be dead in 30 seconds."
Et si une voix dans votre tête vous dit, mais alors où est ton Dieu, tu vas mourir dans quelques secondes?
There's the answer.
Voilà la réponse.
My God is with me.
Mon Dieu est avec moi.
The Lord your God is with you. No qualification.
Le Seigneur ton Dieu est avec toi. Sans aucune condition.
Next phrase.
La phrase suivante.
He is mighty to save.
Il est puissant pour sauver.
It just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Donc, c'est toujours meilleur, n'est-ce pas?
He has the power to save.
Il a la puissance pour sauver.
If the devil is telling you that you've sinned, there's no hope for you, you're worthless, God hates you, you're going to hell, or whatever else God has for you that's bad.
Si le diable vous dites que vous avez péché, que vous ne valez rien, que tout est suivi pour vous, que vous allez aller en enfer.
God is mighty, powerful to save you.
Dieu est puissant pour vous sauver.
Nothing can separate you from his love.
Rien ne peut vous séparer de son amour.
It's going to keep on getting better.
Ça va continuer à être meilleur.
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save.
L'Éternel, ton Dieu, est avec toi. Il est puissant pour sauver.
He will take great delight in you.
il se réjouira grandement en toi.
He delights in you.
Il se réjouit en toi.
Other people may think you're rubbish.
Peut-être que d'autres personnes pensent que vous ne valez rien.
You may think that you yourself may think that you're rubbish.
Et peut-être que vous-même vous pensez que vous ne valez rien.
But God looks at you, and the minute His eye hits your face, He just beams with love.
Mais Dieu vous regarde, et à la minute même où il pose son regard sur vous, eh bien, il se réjouit.
He says, "That's my girl. That's my boy."
Et il dit, ça, c'est ma fille, c'est ma fille.
He will take great delight in you.
Il se réjouira grandement en toi.
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you.
L'Éternel ton Dieu est avec toi. Il est puissant pour sauver. Il se réjouira grandement en toi.
He will quiet you with His love.
Il t'apaisera avec son amour.
Are you letting all this sink in?
Est-ce que vous laissez tout cela entrer en vous?
These aren't words that are coming out of my mouth.
Ce ne sont pas des paroles qui sortent de ma bouche.
This is the love of God that is coming from His Spirit.
Mais c'est l'amour de Dieu qui vient de son esprit.
Don't let it pass. Just let it sink in.
Ne le laissez pas passer. Recevez-le.
Have you ever seen a little infant screaming at cut off?
Est-ce que vous avez déjà vu un tout petit qui est en train de hurler?
And the mother picks the child up.
Et la maman le prend dans ses bras.
Holds it, caresses it.
Elle le tient, elle le caresse.
And there's something in the mother's warmth and tenderness and touch and quiet and that the child's heart.
Et il y a quelque chose dans la chaleur, dans la douceur de cette mère qui fait que l'enfant s'arrête de pleurer.
He will quiet you with His love.
Il t'apaisera avec son amour.
Some of us don't want to accept His love, but that's another message. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will. He will rejoice over you with singing. Whatever you think of yourself, whatever problem you have, whatever problem anybody may have around you, God looks at you and says, "You're wonderful."
Dieu vous regarde et dit merveilleux.
And he rejoices over you.
Et il se réjouit à votre sujet.
With singing.
Avec le chant.
We come in here every Sunday and we rejoice with singing. We worship.
Nous venons tous chaque dimanche et nous réjouissons avec le chant dans la louange.
And it's beautiful.
Et c'est magnifique.
And it's full of the Spirit of God. But it's nothing compared to the singing of the Father over you if you rejoice with Him. That's so
cool.
That's Zephaniah 3, verse 17. When you get up in the morning, actually, why don't you take the verse and write it down on a little card. And when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, reach over and clap the alarm clock off. And then pick up that card and read it. Start your day with that verse. And all day long, if anybody gets on your back, if anybody starts lying to you or about you, If anybody starts beating up on you, the devil gets in your thoughts and starts telling you all sorts of lying accusations. Say to them, the Lord my God is with me. He's mighty to save me. He takes great delight in me. He quiets me with his love. He rejoices over me with singing. And he will do the same for you as soon as you love him and receive him as your Savior. Just hold that. Several weeks ago, I want to share something that happened to me several weeks ago in the lobby of the Carlton Hotel. Good things can happen in the lobby of the Carlton Hotel. I was sitting there having a glass of Perrier, a bottle of Perrier. You know, you can go and sit down in the lobby of the Carlton, give them €6, and they'll give you a bottle of Perrier, and you can sit there all day. So that's what I was doing a few weeks ago. I was reading the Bible, and nobody looks funny at you if you read the Bible because they don't even know it's a Bible. I had a couple of other Christian books that I was reading. I was praying, and I was thinking, and I was listening, because God is always struggling, trying to get into your thoughts. But you need to listen. You need to go to some place that's quiet and tranquil, or maybe not quiet and tranquil. And just sit down and relax. And say, Lord, I'm listening. And then have the faith to believe that he's talking to you. Because he wants to talk to you. And then something happened that I want to tell you about. But it was a little strange. And I don't want you to think I'm crazy. Completely. And I don't want you to think that what I'm about to say is heresy, because it sounds a little like. So before I say it, I want to share some more verses, a few more verses with you from the Bible. And then we'll come back to the cross. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The reason that's there is because when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we are immediately washed in the blood of his righteousness shed on the cross. And all our sins are taken away. Doesn't matter what. All our sins, gone, washed away. And we want never to sin again. That's what we want. But we are made of flesh. And we are tempted. And sometimes, though we struggle against the temptation, sometimes we struggle and we fall and we sin.
contre la tentation, et bien quelquefois, nous tombons et nous péchons.
But Jesus is crucifixion is taking care of that as well.
Mais la crucifixion de Jésus a pris soin de cela aussi.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all
unrighteousness.
That's 1 John 1
9.
So I'm washed when I believe, and I'm washed again later if I sin and I confess. I say, Lord, I've done it again. Please forgive me.
Alors tous mes péchés sont lavés lorsque je m'allie à Jésus, mais ils sont lavés à nouveau lorsque je le confesse et lorsque je dis, oh Père, je péché encore, pardonne-moi.
Continuing with 1 John chapter 2, verse 1.
Et donc en continuant avec
1 John chapter 2, verse 1. All these chapter numbers, by the way, are not inspired. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, he's saying here that it's possible to sin. Saved people sin. Because we're still flesh. We are still flesh and flesh sin. We struggle not to, we try not to, but we fall. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ the
righteous.
Jesus Christ is there next to the Father defending us. If Claire sins, if she never does, if Claire sins, immediately the devil is in front of Jesus accusing her. His name in the Bible is the accuser. And he gets in front of God and he says, did you see what she did? Did you hear what she said? Did you see what she thought? Did you get those thoughts, God? No good for her. Finish the prayer. End of prayer. But somebody got to the Father before the devil got there. Jesus was there because Jesus never leaves. The Bible tells us that Jesus is ever, always at the right hand of God interceding for his children. If anybody does sin, we have one, Jesus Christ, who speaks to the Father in our defense. And the Father always does what Jesus asks him to do. And he forgives him. The sin is taken care of. It's taken care of.
It's all of this.
This does not mean that we can just go ahead and sin all we want and not worry about it. See, before I got saved, I was a thief. I guess I'll go back and be a thief again. I can just go and sin all I want, live a life of sin, and it'll be okay. I'll just confess every time and I'll be forgiven.
Donc c'est juste que quand il y a quelque chose que j'ai avant, quand il y a quelque chose, je pense exprès à Dieu, c'est très malheureux.
But that's not what happened. Because when I fall in love with Jesus and I receive him as my Savior and my Lord, and his Spirit dwells in me, the last thing I want to do is sin. And I struggle not to sin. My dear children, this is chapter 2, verse 1. Oh, excuse me, I've already done that. Hebrews
7:25.
It tells us that Jesus, quote, is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Understand? Jesus died to wash us clean with his blood. And when we sin, he is always there at the Father's right hand, defending us, winning our forgiveness. So the sin is taken care of. Now let's go back to the Carlton Hotel. Do you believe God speaks to his children today? Do you know how he does it? I have a theory, I'm sure it's not mine, but an explanation. And guess what? You're going to hear it. If I want to speak to Jill, my wife, who's sitting right there, which I do fairly frequently, always loving her, if I want to speak my vocal cords vibrate, they make sound waves. The sound waves go through the air. They strike Jill's eardrums. The eardrums vibrate and transmit that, pass that vibration to little bones in the middle ear. And those vibrations are carried into the inner ear, where they are converted into electrical impulses. And those electrical impulses, in ways that science still does not understand well, create images and words in her consciousness, that she feels that she's heard me speak and she's seen. When God wants to talk to me, he doesn't have to go through all that mechanical and electrical process, because he invented it. He can just put his words and his images directly into your consciousness, into your mind. You haven't heard anybody with your ears, you haven't seen anything with your eyes, but there it is in your mind. And if you want to know whether it's really God or whether it's just your imagination or maybe even the devil, then you apply three famous tests. What I'm hearing or seeing, does it glorify God? Is it consistent with what is in the Bible? Because God will never contradict himself. And does it produce good fruit? The answer to all those questions is yes, then you're probably hearing from God.
Donc, si toutes ces questions sont vues, alors probablement vous entendez Dieu.
Okay, again, back to the golf itself. I was sitting there praying and reading the Bible and reading other stuff and listening. And I saw an image. Now, understand, there's nothing spooky about this. Nobody else there saw it, and it wasn't a real image. I couldn't have gone up and touched it. But the image was right here, and it was the face of Jesus. Didn't look like any face of Jesus I'd ever seen before. You know, all these famous religious paintings that you see around. And there's a little trickle of blood coming down Jesus' face from the crown of thorns. And Jesus is just looking like the absolute picture of sorrow and grief. Need I tell you, this face did not look anything like that. This face was just one huge smile. Just a huge smile. Filled with delight. And he said, in my mind, James, I just want to have fun with you. I just want to have fun with you. Oh, well, that's good. I just want to have fun with you. And he said, you know, that's what I want with all my children. Mm-hmm. I just want to have fun with all my children. And I thought, well, all good fathers want to have fun with their children. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him, to his children? If good fathers want to have fun with their children, how much more does your Father in heaven want to have fun with you? But Jesus said, let me tell you, something's gone very wrong. He said, I died on the cross to give all mankind the opportunity of just having fun with God. The veil in the temple was split so that men and women can walk into the presence of my Father. The prison doors were broken, cells were open. The chains binding men and women fell off. And the lights went on. No more darkness, no more bonds, no more imprisonment. The captives were set free. And everybody came out into the light. And I felt Jesus saying that then something terrible happened. The people turned around and they went back into the cells. They closed the doors and we locked them. They climbed back into their chains. And they switched out the light and went back into bed. Why did they do it? Because they didn't really believe that sin had been taken care of. they are thinking about sin all the time. They just think about sin. And the devil uses their thoughts about sin to condemn them. And they say, oh, I'm not worthy to be set free. I've sinned. I keep on sinning. I live in sin. I'm not worthy to be set free. I'm not worthy to live in the light of Jesus Christ. And then I heard him say, it's not me over, it was the point of the whole thing. He said, James, they are so concerned with sin. And with me, sin has not been an issue for 2,000 years. Sin has not been an issue with me for 2,000 years. And because I'm one of the people he was talking about, I thought, oh wow, sounds like heresy to me. Sin is not an issue? I thought sin was what it was all about. 95% of every evangelical church in the world next Sunday is going to be preaching about sin. And Jesus is saying that with me, sin hasn't been an issue for 2,000 years? And then I began to think about the verses that I just read. And I thought about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise that sin won't be an issue. If we confess our sins, he's faithful, he is just, and he will forgive us our sins, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. If Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And Jesus Christ, the righteous one, says, sin has not been an issue with me since I died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Some Christians are obsessed with sin. Jesus says, I just want to have fun with you. I felt him saying to me, James, I just want to take long walks with you. I want to have conversations with you. I want to play ball with you. I want to catch a soccer ball with you. I want to hear all your thoughts and I want to tell you some of mine. I just want to have fellowship with you. In John 15, Jesus said to his disciples, I call you friends. Job, probably the earliest book in the Bible, long before Jesus appeared on earth. But Job knew there was a Messiah. Job is lying there in dust and filth and ashes, covered with sores. And nothing is going to separate Job from the love of his Lord. Job says to those who are trying to loosen his relationship with God, Job says, if he kills me, yet will I trust in him. And he knew, Job knew that Jesus was his intercessor with the Father. Even though he'd never heard the name of Jesus, he knew that there was a Messiah who was interceding at the side of the Father for him. He said something beautiful and magnificent. He said, my intercessor intercedes for me as a man pleads for the as a man pleads for his friend. Just as a man pleads for his friend, so Jesus is at the Father pleading for Job. And Job knew it before Jesus was even born on earth.
Donc exactement comme un homme plaide pour son ami, Jésus est devant le Père et il plaide pour lui.
Jesus says, some of my last words on the cross were, it is finished.
Et Jésus a dit que certaines de ses dernières paroles sur la croix sont toutes accomplies.
And he meant it.
Et il voulait vraiment dire ça.
He said, it's finished. It's over, it's paid up, it's done with, and he meant it. I think all of us have probably had at least one brief, tiny little moment with the Lord when we felt real joy. Maybe it was when we got saved, maybe it was when we got baptized in the Spirit, but even some tiny little moment when we knew that we were with the Lord and we had a suffering experience. And in Galatians 4:15, Paul gets a little irritated with the Galatians. And he says to them, what has happened to all your joy? They received Jesus Christ as their Savior and they were full of joy. And then some other people came to them and said, no, you've got to follow this rule, you've got to obey that law, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to do this, that, and the other thing. And the Galatians were beginning to believe it, and it infuriated Paul. And Paul said, what has happened to all your joy? So the Bible says it to us. You had a little bit of joy once. What in the world happened to it? Some little thought came into your mind and started telling you how condemned you are, how unworthy you are, how you're nothing, and you're doing it. Because you believed it. Why believe it? Why become a slave again? Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Then stand firm. Stand firm. And when somebody comes around and tries to enslave you, no way. Stand firm. But you've got to do this. No, I don't. You've got to say this. No, I don't. A couple of weeks ago, somebody told me they were in a church in the UK where they were taught that you couldn't worship God sitting down. They were thinking about joining Cornerstone. They decided they didn't want to. I don't know if that was the reason. I don't know the reason. But think of it. There are people today, born again, spirit-filled people today, who are being told, and some of them are believing it, that they can't worship sitting down. I met a pastor once who was pastor of a church in Moscow before it broke up into the Soviet Union, and he had done 6 years in labor camps for Jesus. And he wouldn't pray sitting down. I was in a prayer meeting with him. We were all sitting around. We all stood up and we were praying. No, I'm sorry. We were all sitting and we were praying, sitting. Everybody prayed. This pastor didn't pray. Afterwards, his wife came to me. And I said, I know you may be wondering why so-and-so didn't pray, but he can't pray sitting down. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, we know that the devil tries to counterfeit the things that God does. He always tries to counterfeit the things that God does and turn it into something evil. Well, Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, praise God. And ever since, the devil's been trying to resurrect something. The Bible tells us that Jesus became sin so that he could go to the cross and destroy sin, and he killed sin. And the devil is still trying to resurrect sin. And I believe Jesus is saying, sin has not been an issue with me for 2,000 years since I went to the cross and killed it. I've got to hurry up, but I want to say this. It disturbs me sometimes. I'll be frank with you. It disturbs me sometimes when I see Christians sobbing and crying, not out of joy or thanksgiving, but out of condemnation. Oh, I'm so sinful. Oh, I'm so worthless. How can God use me? Oh, listen. That really upsets me. If you're like that and you think that you're worthless and useless because you sin, and that's really making you sad, running your tears. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Receive the forgiveness. And forget about it. It doesn't bother God anymore. Why should it bother you? He's not in tears about it. Why should you be? He died on the cross to get you out of that. Don't weep the devil's tears. Somebody may be thinking, well, Jesus wept. But very quickly, Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But he didn't weep for Lazarus, and he wasn't weeping for himself. He was weeping because of the other people who were sorrowful. He was weeping because of their fear. There's a lot more to say about that. You can look at what Jesus said when he went to the home of Jairus to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. It says they were wailing loudly. And Jesus got there and he said, quote, what is all this commotion? Threw them all out of the house, and when they were gone, not just for us. The world is full of people living in chains and prisons and darkness. And they look around and they see long-faced Christians. And they say to themselves, I'm already in trouble. Why should I listen to them? If somebody who's living in darkness looks at somebody whose whole life is lived in the light and the joy of the living God, they want that. Nobody wants to be miserable. Not many of them. And they want that joy. And they look for it. And when they look for the joy, they find Jesus. That may be what your joy is all about. Attracting, enticing people out of their cells and their chains and their darkness into the glorious, joyful light of Jesus Christ. You know, what do you think heaven is going to be like? Is heaven going to be miserable? Revelation 19 tells us that heaven is a party. It's a wedding feast. It's a festival of worship. If every tear is wiped away, if you're into sadness, you're not going to like heaven. Because there isn't any there. Receive the joy that God wants to give you. Stop listening to the devil when he tells you you're no good because you're sick.
Arrêtez d'écouter le diable qui vous dit que vous n'êtes bon à rien parce que vous avez péché.
Confess your sins.
Confessez vos péchés.
And he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our
sins. Et le fidèle vous lavez de toute injustice et pardonnez vos péchés.
Our God is merciful.
Notre Dieu est miséricordieux.
He's forgiving.
Il pardonne.
We have a joyful God.
Nous avons un Dieu joyeux.
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Praise God. And amen. May I ask that if anybody would like prayer or ministry, they can remain here.
Est-ce que je peux demander à ceux qui aimeraient avoir la prière et retourner le ministère de rester ici?
We have a time of fellowship and coffee and tea and talking next door.
Et ceux qui veulent avoir un temps de communion fraternelle, prendre un café ou un thé, qui puissent aller de l'autre côté.
So please, if you don't want to remain tranquil and peaceful in prayer or wait for ministry, please go next door and fellowship there so that the people who are praying can have a place of quiet.
Et donc, s'il vous plaît, si vous ne voulez pas rester ici simplement pour prier et rester silencieux, sinon ça sera cool, allez de l'autre côté pour ne pas déranger ceux qui veulent prier.
And we'll see you at the Straightway meeting.
Et nous vous verrons au réunion de Straightway.
God bless you.
Dieu vous bénisse.